All right, good morning. Good, and how are you? Fine, good. Okay, today we're going to continue with history. It's lesson five. Lesson five starts with question one, which is, when did the Japanese start wearing Western clothes? And I first want to hear your answer, and then let's see what happens, okay? So, you want to begin? Okay, thank you.
Western clothes were first introduced during the Meiji period. Meiji period started in 1868,
okay.
And it was a time when Japan heavily influenced by foreign cultures.
Okay.
And the government encouraged people to adopt Western clothing and habits. At first, government officials and military personnel, as well as mailmen and railroad workers, were required by law to wear the Western style uniforms. And Western clothes gradually became common among people. And once its popularity became gaining during the World War II, and later became popular and nationwide again, World War II.
Okay, after World War II. Okay, good. Not bad. That's pretty good, actually. Just in your answer, Japan was heavily influenced.
Japan was heavily influenced.
Right. Okay, good. That's pretty good. And then after World War II, especially, or I'm not sure you mentioned World War II, right? And I think
I said once its popularity became gaining during World War II.
Okay.
During wars, I should say.
Well, my impression, I thought it more after the war.
More after.
Like the wearing of Western clothes became more popular after World War II.
Mm.
Not during the war, no? Was it during the war?
I thought its popularity once became gaining. Gaining its popularity.
Okay, wearing Western clothes was gaining popularity.
Wearing Western clothes became gaining popularity.
Wearing Western clothes gained popularity.
Wearing Western clothes gained popularity.
Yeah.
During World War II.
Okay.
But it became nationwide again after wars.
Okay, so wearing Western clothes gained popularity during World War II and especially after.
Especially after it became nationwide again.
Yeah, nationwide. We became popular throughout the nation.
It became popular throughout the nation.
Right. When you said again, I'm not sure what was there a time when it wasn't popular? I think you said again. It was gained popularity after the war again. Did you say again? No. Okay. Okay. All right. Good. That's pretty good. Okay. I just thought that after the war, especially wearing Western clothes gained popularity. Okay. Good. In this answer, they mention the word male. Men, and even though at the time of the Meiji period it was more likely only men that brought the mail, but it sounds a little bit outdated today because there are, you know, women who bring mail.
Mm.
Maybe not in Japan so much, but in other countries. So we usually say postal workers, just like you have here, railroad workers. So it sounds nicer to say postal, P-O-S-T-A-L, workers. Okay, and you could say government workers, that's fine, or just, you know, simple words. They have officials, government officials, or, you know, government workers, railroad workers, postal workers started to wear Western clothes, and military people started to wear Western clothes as uniforms, and all of them actually wore Western clothes as uniforms. Okay? Good. Let me have you answer the same question. When did the Japanese start wearing Western clothes?
Well, it was the at the Meiji Restoration. The Meiji Restoration.
Okay.
The government ordered military persons to wear the Western style clothes.
Clothes. Okay. Mm.
In addition to that, mailmen or postal workers and other governmental officials are forced to wear the Western style clothes.
Okay. We're forced to wear.
Huh?
We're forced to wear. We're forced to wear.
War forced.
To wear. Uh-huh. Okay.
War horse.
No, I think you said government workers forced to wear is what you said.
Huh?
And you need to say government workers were forced to wear.
The government
workers were forced.
Wore,
not like wear the clothes, no. Is the past tense of to be. Were.
Were.
Yeah, okay. So the verb has to be passive, and so you need to say were forced.
I said was.
Yeah, I don't think you just said the government workers forced to wear. You didn't say, so I was trying to correct the grammar.
Okay, thank you.
All right, good. Okay.
Were forced to wear. The Western style clothes.
Okay.
And this, because many government officials and workers wore the Western style clothes, the common people also came to wear the Western style. So it's style. It became kind of fashion and spread out across Japan.
Okay, good. All right, good. I think the idea is that it spread out throughout Japan, but it didn't happen overnight. We say it didn't happen all at once. The government workers, postal workers, railroad workers started to wear, and I think when the first female workers who wore Western clothes were nurses, and I heard of bus conductors, and so it gradually took time for everybody to more or less wear Western clothes. So it didn't happen that everybody, you know, one day started wearing Western clothes. Okay, so that's just something you can say. So eventually, it became more and more popular. That's why, especially after the war. You know, especially like nowadays, you rarely see so many people wearing Western clothes. Usually people going to tea ceremony or maybe a wedding or something. But, you know, just to put on your clothes and go shopping, people don't wear kimono usually. Maybe Oba-chan still does. Okay. You know what I want to do? I'd like you to try this again because I kind of fixed it and stopped you. And I'd just like to hear it again after listening to you know what we've talked about. Okay, let's just practice this one more time. Okay, when did Japanese start wearing Western clothes?
Okay, it was at the Meiji Restoration. Just after that, the government forced to wear the Western style clothes for governmental officials, workers, and also military men, and including male men. So it's seeing that the common people gradually started to wear the Western style clothes, and especially after the Second World War, people wore the Western style clothes instead of kimono more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And now almost all people, 99% of Japanese, wear Western style kimono instead of Western style clothes instead of Japanese style kimono.
Right. So nowadays, who wears Japanese style clothes? What kinds of people?
Oh, small wrestler.
Okay.
And shrines, the monks in temples.
Right. The shrine people or the
shrine people
priest,
and
monk, Shinto priest and
Shinto priest and temples priest.
Okay.
And in some occasion, like wedding ceremony and funeral, they wear kimono.
Right, wedding ceremonies and funerals, they wear kimono. Okay, good. All right, just again, about the forced. So the government forced, you know, railroad workers, military people to wear Western clothes. The railroad workers, the government workers, the postal workers were forced to wear Western clothes by the government.
Were forced.
Yeah. So either way.
Either way.
But the government forced them to wear Western clothes, or those people were forced to wear Western clothes. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's different ways you can say. Okay. Let me ask you again the same question. When did Japanese start to wear Western style clothes?
Western clothes were first introduced during the Meiji period. Meiji period started in 1868, and it was a time when Japan was heavily influenced by Western culture and
cultures is fine.
Because cultures. The government encouraged people to adopt Western clothing and habits. At first, government workers and military people, as well as post workers and railroad workers, were required by law to wear Western style uniforms. Western clothes gradually became common among people, but wearing Western clothes gained popularity once during World War II. But especially after the war, it became popular again throughout the nation.
Right. Okay. Probably it became more popular throughout the nation. So don't say maybe again doesn't work. Okay. Good. Could you tell me this? Just answer the same question. He mentioned some people who wear Japanese clothes still. What kinds of people wear Japanese clothes today?
Most Japanese today wear kimonos only on special occasions such as their New Year holidays, formal occasions, and traditional events. Especially people working in their traditional arts such as tea ceremonies and shrine priests and Buddhist monks wear kimonos more often. In addition, women in kimono can be seen, especially on coming of age day.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Good. And also, like you said, people in traditional arts, which is common. So people in tea ceremony have flower arranging, and also people who work in Japanese style restaurants and inns. Right. So a lot of nicer restaurants have, especially the ladies wear kimono. And also, ryokan, or, Japanese style inns, hot spring hotels, a lot of the staff wear kimono. Good. Okay. Good. All right. So I hope we're okay with this. In the last sentence in the model answer, they have the word, this expedited the spread of Western style clothes among ordinary people as well. This expedited means to speed up. So this sped up or speeded up the spread of Western style clothes. If you want to, neither of you said that, but just in case, I thought they're using a word that's not spoken too often, but it means to speed up. So this, quickened the spread of wearing Western style clothes. So it should be something like this, quickened the spread of wearing Western style clothes. Sounds a little more clear. Okay, or this sped up. Speeded up? Maybe speeded up. I think some people say sped. She's Yeah, they'll speed it up. Okay, good. The next question is about Toyotomi Hideyoshi. And the question is, do you think Toyotomi Hideyoshi is an important person in Japanese history, and why?
Yes, he's a very important person in Japanese history, because he was born as the son of a farmer, and however, he climbed up the ladder step by step, and finally, at the end of the 16th century, he unified the nation and conducted the extensive social reforms throughout the nation. And I think he's one of the key person to develop the many Japanese culture as it is today. And it was during his reign that extravagant culture, very flourished. And because Hideyoshi considered art was the symbol of power.
Okay.
Under his reign, many culture was greatly developed. Such as pictures, tea ceremonies, and architecture of many castles.
Mm-hmm.
So he favored enormous social events to show his power. So his culture became popular among the feudal lords and spread to the commoners.
Okay, good. All right. Let me have you answer. Tell me, do you think Toyotomi Hideyoshi is an important person in Japanese history, and why?
Yes, he is a very important person in Japanese history because one of the reasons is that he completed he finished the battle inside Japan, succeeding Nobunaga, who fought against the other warriors in Japan, and he was almost successful to rule over the Japan. But Hideyoshi, after that, Hideyoshi conquered and ruled Japan completely, and the peace he brought in the complete peace to Japan. Mm. So in that sense, he is very important person. And then he invaded Korean Peninsula, although he failed. But at that time, he brought in or abducted Korean persons, putters. And these Korean developed the special pottery in Arima and Arita and Imari. Now, this is the basis of Japanese gorgeous porcelain now.
Mm.
So,
okay.
Also, as she said, he urged promoted
Encouraged.
Encouraged.
Promoted is okay. Promoted arts. Yeah.
Promoted arts.
Right. Okay. Good. That's fine. Good. Okay. Good. Yeah. We talked a lot about Hideyoshi. You might want to. I think you were trying to see after Nobunaga tried to unify the country after the Warring States period. Hideyoshi was more successful in unifying the country as the leader, because during the Warring States period there were lots of little feudal domains, and nobody really ruled the country. It was like a chaos.
Yes.
Right? And so during Oda Nobunaga started, and Hideyoshi more or less finished and was able to unify the country and put the country into peace. And what are some, just because you didn't answer and you can't answer everything, do you know what reforms he did? What I know, maybe other things, but two important reforms that he did.
Oh, yeah. One is he surveyed the farmer's land.
Right.
And he could assign the rice should be paid to the lord.
Right.
the Shōen, which is a very old system, has collapsed. Shōen system, which has continued from about 1300
years
ago.
It collapsed. Did it work?
It collapsed.
Well, okay. And what he put in, what I understand is, like, what we call in English, simply, it is a rice tax.
Rice tax. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rice tax.
Based upon what, the size of the land?
Yes. The size. Size of, not rice, size of the land. Yeah, rice. Yeah. Correct. Size of the land.
Right.
And
so
the quality of the land.
Right. There was also something interesting about the quality.
Yeah.
He also taxed not just the size, but the quality, as you said, yeah.
Quality and size.
And the size of the land. So then he kind of made an official, you know, rice tax system.
Yes. The other thing is something we call rice, katanagari.
Right.
He has taken away all sword and weapons from the farmers. So the farmers could not resist with weapon against the lords. At the same time, the farmers' position and or farmers' mission and samurai's mission was completely divided into two missions.
Two categories. Right.
Two classes.
Right. He took away the swords from the peasants, and so they wouldn't rebel, which is a very smart thing.
Yeah.
Because if the majority of people have swords, it might be dangerous for the leaders. So he took them away, and that's another reform. So that's why he's kind of famous for these two things.
Yes.
Okay. Good. I guess that was fine. Okay. What was, there was a period of time called, what is it?
Azuchi Momoyama.
What was that period like?
Oh, Azuchi is a castle's name and also the name of a city. And Nobunaga built a castle in Azuchi. And he, in the final stage, Nobunaga governed
Japan. Okay, right. Okay.
Based on that area, that city.
Okay, based and from that city.
Based from that
uh-huh.
city. Momoyama is the same for Hideyoshi. Momoyama is the city, the name of city, and Hideyoshi governed Japan from based on that city.
From that city, right? So that's why they're, I guess, the names of their castles.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Good. All right. And I think isn't Hideyoshi was Osaka Castle? Eventually?
Yes, also he made
Osaka Castle.
He built a Osaka Castle.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, let's go to question three.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can start again and I'll give you her a chance to speak. What is Tenno and what acts does he perform according to the Japanese constitution? So simply put, what does the emperor do?
In the present constitution, Tenno is called a symbol of Japan, or unifying symbol, unification symbol.
Symbol of unification.
Symbol of unification.
Okay.
And he performs acts with advice and approval of the cabinet. So, for example, politically, he convenes and dissolves the diet. And also, he officially pronounces, announces the new law. And diplomatically, he meets and greets the important persons from foreign countries. And also, he gives the, for example, Bunka Kunsho, or what you call that, cultural
award or something?
Awards, to people.
Mm-hmm.
And also, he visits local places to meet local people and make communication with local people,
right,
and make some speeches.
Right, so make communicate, or maybe to come into contact with. He comes into contact with local people.
Comes in contact.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, then communicate with is okay, but usually communicate is, I usually say, is usually telephone or internet is communicate.
Oh, okay.
It's not a very personal expression.
Okay.
So we communicated means, you know, we corresponded, we you know, talked on the phone, we did email, we did fax. But face-to-face talk is, sometimes communication sounds cold, very formal. So he comes into contact with?
Comes.
So the emperor comes into contact with local people.
With local people.
Right. Or he can meet local people, or and he can, you know, talk with local people.
Talk
so
with.
It sounds a little more friendly.
Yeah, okay.
Communicate's okay, but to me it just has a little bit more of a more business-like.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay. Let me have her answer the same question. What is Tenno and what acts does he perform according to the Japanese constitution?
Tenno is the emperor of Japan. He was regarded as the living god until the end of World War II. But under the present constitution, he is the symbol of the state. Symbol of unification.
Okay, symbol of state. Symbol of unification, sure. Okay.
And now he is considered to be a constitutional monarch. He has mainly three functions. And the first one is political. He convenes and dissolves the diet and officially announces the new laws. The second law is diplomatic. He receives their state guests, important guests from overseas, and also he makes overseas visits. He has an important role in building up, promoting international friendship. The third one is ceremonial. He comes into contact with Japanese citizens through the attendance at various events, for example, facilities for the aged and or the handicapped, and occasionally he delivers the speeches at the events.
Sure. Okay, good. All right, that's real good. We're talking about he goes overseas. The expression we say, he makes courtesy visits.
Courtesy.
Yeah, I think it was C-O-U-R-T-E-S-Y. He makes courtesy visits to other, you know, countries and to other diplomats when he goes overseas.
Two
other countries, right? Or to meet other country officials. So most of the time, it's not real business. It's not real politics. It's just like a friendly visit. So sometimes we say courtesy visit. Okay, you know, kind of. Okay, and also in this answer, you had no trouble. The very technical word of convenes and dissolves the diet. That's the correct expression. There's nothing wrong. It's just very technical. It's only used for, I think, diet or court, The court is convened, the diet is convened means start. So if you forget, just think of start and finish, or start and end. Okay. So he starts the diet, opens the diet is another way. He opens and closes. Okay. So he starts and ends the diet, he opens and closes.
The diet is a very common word in the world.
The diet is it a common word in the world? No, not really.
No, not really.
Right. So I don't know. Yeah, there, each government calls their national assembly a different name. America calls it Congress. Uh-huh. And the UK in English, they call, Parliament. Okay, so there's a few different expressions used, but a few countries use the diet. If I'm not mistaken, it could be, I don't know why I think of Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
Or, one of those countries, some of them call it diet, but it's not very common.
Not common. So in the examination, can I say the diet?
Sure. Because that's,
so they
that's,
can understand the diet.
Oh, well, yeah, especially one of the things that's interesting is maybe, foreign tourists from coming off the airplane might not know the word diet. They think of don't eat lots of food like I needed to go on the diet. But in the test, because that's what they expect you to say.
Oh, okay.
The test is in Japan. There's a Japanese person. There's another person that's, not Japanese. And they usually will expect you to say certain terms. So don't be afraid to say that. Okay?
So I can say
diet. Sure. Yeah. There's a lot of Japanese expressions that probably most tourists wouldn't know, but some of them are okay for the test.
Okay.
So diet is fine. Yeah, I think, as I say, some countries, a few use the diet. I don't know, Sweden or Finland, or I don't think it's one of those countries. Their English name, they call it the diet.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Number four question is about the chonmage. Yeah, this is an interesting question. We'll just ask you the basic questions. Why was the chonmage hairstyle worn by the samurai?
That was because for better, samurai shaved the tops of the head of their heads, in order to reduce the heat under their heavy helmets, and they wore their hair straight on the side. And when not wearing helmets, they pulled their side and back hair into the top knot. It originated in the Kamakura period, and it became a status symbol among Japanese society during the Edo period.
Okay, good. I know in the Meiji period that it became a law after, I think it was, 1874? 1872. It wasn't 1868. It was started, 5, 6, 7, 8 years later. That they had to cut it off. Nobody could wear that. Why did they have to cut it off? Why did they have to shave? Cut it off.
Because after the Meiji Restoration, the new government promote to create a modern society, and hierarchy of four class and samurai status was abolished, and chonmage's hairstyle was banned by the law.
Okay. Could you say that again?
Okay.
I think it's okay. I just want to make sure. There's a point that is important. Okay. I think you got the point. But
after the Meiji Restoration, the new government promote to create a modern society, and Japan rapidly modernized and industrialized, and their former social class, such as the hierarchy, hierarchy was abolished, and that is why chonmage hairstyle was banned, and samurai have to cut off their heads.
Right. Okay. Right. So because during the Edo period there was a very strict four class caste system, and in order to make everybody equal after the Meiji Restoration, the samurai could not keep their status with top knots, and also they had to They had to take away their swords, or they couldn't carry swords, right? Because there was no longer a status for samurai. Everybody was equal, technically. Okay, yeah, that's why they did that. Okay. I wish I remembered the year, but it was, I don't know, for some reason, 1872 or 1874 sticks in my mind. So around that time, I think it was because the samurai were not wanting to give up their status. So they decided they had to, and they did it, about 6, 7, 8 years later, something like that. Okay, good. Tell me, what is chomage? Well, how would you describe chomage?
It's a difficult question. The samurai, when samurai engaging in the battle, they become hot. So, if they don't have chomage, it's the hairs and their helmets are attached. So, no space between the hair and the helmets. Mm-hmm. So, in order to avoid that bad condition, they shave the half of the hair, and also the hair, the half of the hair which had been grown wrong was tied and shaped to knot, top knot.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then, so the they could create the space between the helmet and the hair.
Right.
Allowing the air to circulate.
Right.
So it's more. They can feel more cool and. Present, even in the battle.
Right. Okay. Good. All right. So they wore that. Right. It's like it became like a cushion, right, to make air circulation. I don't know
but
if it works, but
I am very doubtful about this.
Answer. What do you? What do you have a theory?
I have no answer to that, but. I am now researching. This what I don't think this is correct.
Oh, you don't think it's correct? Okay, I don't know. All I know is this, but well, it sounds a little bit. You know, they shave the head, but if it comes in direct contact, it's going to be hot. So they needed a cushion.
Uh-huh.
You know, but shaving it.
But,
makes it cooler, you think, but then they have to put it on. So I'm not, again, yeah, that, yeah. Let us know if you find out about this.
Yeah. Do you know in Europe, there should have been the same situation.
Well, yeah, that was, yeah.
Helmet and hair. So what happened to them?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, the same thing. Because in Europe, I don't think people, they didn't shave their heads.
No.
They had this long hair over it, I guess, so they cut it.
So,
well, maybe Japanese swords felt different, or maybe the Japanese were more ingenious. Okay. Anyway, if you have another answer, let me know. If not, this is the answer. It sounds okay.
So I'll let you know.
Okay, good. Okay, the next question, it asks about shogun. And I know that in the answer they've used that shogun is generally translated as generalissimo, but, you know, generalissimo is Italian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, yeah. And the only generalissimo I ever have heard of is Mussolini.
Oh.
So it's not a real common word. Although people, when they hear generalissimo, they think of Mussolini. So I, you know, sometimes the shogun is generally translated as a, you know, military leader.
Military leader.
Yeah. Okay. So military head of state. Uh-huh. Something like that also uh-huh. works.
Military leader.
Technically the head of the military government. Also. So shogun is, in Japan, in the case of Japan, is the shogun is the head of the military government. Which was by the Bakufu, say something like that, right?
In, so in the dictionary, the Bakufu is translated into shogunate.
Shogunate, right? Which is,
is that correct?
Yeah, you could say shogunate. But again, what is shogunate? Shogunate is like a government run by a military. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why the head of the military.
The common people in England or in America can understand shogunate?
Well, if they know history, but no, the average people probably wouldn't.
Wouldn't. So yes. The military leader or military government is better.
Is better, yeah. Military run government or something like that.
Called back.
Yeah, right. Okay. Government. Good. Okay. In this answer, I think I'm a little bit more, I should be a little bit more clear because there are basically two types of shogun in history. The first type were temporary uh-huh. and then the second type were permanent. And I think it would be more clear uh-huh. if you use those words. So the sure. first line here is originally a temporary title uh-huh. and then later it developed into the permanent
Yeah.
official permanent title given by the emperor to the administrative head of the country, the administrative military head of the country, yeah. something like that. That's all. So I would suggest you use temporary and permanent in your permanent. Answer to make it clear.
Permanent title.
Right.
Permanent
title. Right, because Yoritomo was shogun and then after that, mm-hmm. he was the first permanent shogun. Because my understanding, the original ones
permanent
were...
Permanent shogun, okay.
Right, the original yeah. ones... Like Sakanoue no Tamanamaru went out to the north and then when he came back and he was like shogun for that time.
Yes.
But after it he wasn't shogun right. when he came back. So, okay. So what is your answer for what is a shogun?
Shogun. The first shogun was Sakanoue no Tamanamaru who was ordered by the emperor to conquer the people in northern part of Japan. And it was the title was very temporary one. So after he came back to Kyoto, he was no more shogun.
Mm-hmm. Was no longer shogun.
No longer shogun.
Okay.
Afterwards, the title of shogun became a permanent one. The first permanent. Shogun was Minamoto no Yoritomo, who opened the Kamakura military government.
Who started maybe? Opened.
Started. Yeah. Started. And then Ashikaga military government, and also Tokugawa military government. They were the Tokugawa, Ashikaga, and Yoritomo are the names of the shogun.
Permanent shoguns.
Permanent shoguns. Mm-hmm. And they are the shogun, the permanent shogun is a name of the military government and
The head of the military government.
Head of the military government.
Okay.
And they were the emperor ordered or has given the name.
Right.
To these people.
Right.
And under the order, the permanent shogun were allowed to govern or rule Japan.
Right. Okay. Good. All right, good. I know this was Sakanoe no Tamura Maro. Sounds to me it's a tongue twister. But I'm not, in history I've looked and I'm not sure if he was the real first one. So one of the first. I don't know, I've read, do you think, you said the first one, but I thought there was his father before that or something and then...
Yeah, might be, yeah.
So one of the first I think
that?
Is safer. Yeah, I looked and tried to check. But it's not clear. But I don't think he was the first, but then it's not clear. Mm-hmm. So maybe one of the first temporary ones.
One of the first temporary shogun.
Right. Okay, good. How many shoguns were there, do you know?
How many shoguns?
Yeah.
In Tokugawa period, 15
that's
shoguns.
Easy.
Yeah. But I'm not sure in Ashikaga period, maybe 13 something.
I checked this also, and I think it's not really clear again, because when you add the permanent and temporary, the number is close to around 38 or 39, 37, depending,
Including everything?
Yeah, including everything.
Kamakura, Ashikaga.
Yeah, if you look sometimes English books and then Japanese, they give a different number. So anyway, but yeah, I think including permanent and temporary, I think there's about in total maybe 37 to 8 to 39. Oh. Okay. And Tokugawa's easy. Everyone knows it was 15.
Yeah. 15, yes.
Okay, good. Let me ask her the same question. What is a shogun?
It can be roughly said that and shogun was the practical ruler of Japan from the end of the 12th century through the mid-19th century. Shogun is usually translated into a military leader. And it was originally a temporary title given by the emperor to the commander-in-chief of an expeditionary army. And later, it became an official permanent title to the administrative head of administrative head of the country.
Okay.
The first permanent shogun was Minamoto no Yoritomo in the Kamakura period, and the last shogun was Tokugawa Yoshinobu in the Edo period.
Okay, good. Was Hideyoshi Toyotomi Shogun? Toyotomi Hideyoshi, was he a shogun?
If I remember correctly, he was assigned to as our Taiko is a kind of a shogun. the Kanpaku.
What's something? Yeah.
Thank you.
So, no. Okay. Yeah, he had some other title, but he wasn't a shogun, right? And Oda Nobunaga, who was also famous and powerful and influential in history, was also not a shogun, I believe. Do you know why?
Oda Nobunaga. Expel the shogun in the 1570s.
Well, he expelled them, okay. Expelled the Ashikaga?
Ashikaga
right.
Shogun.
But why was, everybody knows Tokugawa Ieyasu was a shogun.
Mm-hmm.
Why was he a shogun? Well, the emperor appointed him, but why could he become a shogun and Toyotomi Hideyoshi.
Strong power.
Oh, okay. I believe they had to show some lineage, some direct line descendant from the original shogun, no? That he had to show that he was a relative of Minamoto no Yoritomo or one of the Ashikaga or something. It also had to show some lineage, we call lineage, some hereditary line. And I think Hideyoshi was a peasant, so he couldn't. And there was something Odunaba. So Tokugawa claims he was a relative. And I believe that's what I've read. So that's why the others weren't powerful, but then he could become a shogun because he had some past line from relative, some relation, kind of iffy. We say iffy, not real sure. But I thought that's what why he was able to become shogun. Okay. But the answer is Oda Nobunaga and Hideyoshi Toyotomi were not shogun. They had different titles. Okay? Yeah? Okay. Let's go on to number 6, which is probably one of the easiest questions today. It's tell me about the last shogun. Can you tell me about the last shogun?
Tokugawa Yoshinobu was the last shogun. He became the 15th shogun in 1866, but he ruled over the country only for 2 years, because after Japan opened itself to Western countries, the anti-Tokugawa leaders were very afraid that Japan would be colonized by Western powers, so they tried to modernize and industrialize Japan by overthrowing the Tokugawa shogunate. And so that is why in 1867, Tokugawa Yoshinobu stepped down from the shogun and returned all his power to the emperor.
Hmm. Okay, good. Was he the 15th shogun?
He was the 15th shogun.
15th Tokugawa shogun.
15th Tokugawa shogun.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because a lot of people. This answer to me is not real clear. Yes, Tokugawa Yoshinobu was the 15th and the last shogun of the Tokugawa shogun. But Tokugawa Yoshinobu was the 15th Tokugawa shogun and the last shogun in Japan, which is more clear because, as we mentioned, I think there were 37, 8, 9 or shogun. So he wasn't the 15th shogun, he was the 15th Tokugawa shogun and the very last shogun in all of Japan. Okay, good. And can you tell me about the last shogun?
The last shogun was Tokugawa Yoshinobu. He was the 15th Tokugawa shogun and the last shogun he is a person during 19th century, late 19th.
Middle 19th century. Okay.
And after General Perry came to Japan, and there was a very big turmoil in Japan, and big domains in Japan resisted and fought against the shogunate, military leaders, which is Tokugawa. And he tried to avoid or stop that movement, but he finally failed because he and the shogunate was defeated by the domain's power. So finally, he returned the shogunate power to the emperor, and he retired. But he was not killed. He was 30 years later, he was raised to Duke.
Oh, okay, Duke. Okay.
And also selected as a member of the House of Peers. So he was happy after that.
Okay, right. And his shogunate was very short, right? I don't even know. Was it, you said 2 years?
2 years, yes.
So roughly what, 1866 and 1867, right? So it was very short. Okay. Good. Okay, let's take a break because we have some other, you know, more questions, six more questions to go through. And these, again, do take time. So we'll take a break and then we'll come back and finish them. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.